Well, the title of today's teaching is stepping back into last week, which was about the year 2023 being a year of an apostolic expansion. And I shared that as a word for our congregation. I feel like that's something the Lord is saying to us here at Grace House as we've been praying about, you know, emerging, and it's an apostolic center of training, that this is going to be a year where we see expansion in that direction and in that way. So I'm going to follow that up today and let you know that that apostolic expansion, it also has at its heart an expectation of signs, wonders, and miracles. Simply put, I believe we're going to see the culture of the early church was impregnated with an expectation to see God moving miraculously, powerfully in signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, when we start talking about signs and wonders, and I know there's a lot of different ideas, and we use our hands, don't we? I mean, I jokingly say, if you tie my hands behind my back, I won't be able to preach. You know, because we use our hands as a sign language in a way. I remember in high school, learning and growing up, it's been a long time since I've seen someone do this, but it's been a long time since I was little too. So, but growing up, it was very regular. You'd be behind somebody going down the road, and all of a sudden, you know, they'd be driving. You'd see them stick their hand out like this. You know what that meant? They were about to turn. They're going to make a left turn. And occasionally, somebody, you'd be driving down the road, and you'd see them tap their brake lights, and then stick their hand out and go like this. They're about to make a right turn. I know that may sound strange to some of you. They still require that for you to know that on the driver's test? Okay, all right. So we're all cool with that. Signs. Well, there are times when God stretches forth His hand. And it can be to attest to a message, to demonstrate His power. But it's always tethered to the exaltation of His Son, and to underscore the authenticity of the gospel. So we want to be a congregation where that's in line with New Testament Christianity right out of the book. You know, you get the bread when it's fresh out of the oven. We want to line up right up with the book, New Testament Christianity. And that's what this whole idea of apostolic expansion is. And to realize it's not just to get together, we four no more, have a good time. Although when we get together, we want to have a good time. And because righteousness, peace, and joy are evidences of God's kingdom. Okay? So you want to, you know, we're not at a funeral service. We're at a resurrection party. So this is a difference in that. So we want to have this expectation of signs, wonders, and miracles. And I also want to say right up front, I don't completely understand how all this works. Been at it a while now, but still hadn't figured it all out. You see, God's God, and He can do things the way He wants to do things. Now, He's not going to do them sinfully. He's not going to violate His character in any way. But He can leave you with your jaw dropped in awe. That's a wonder. Where you're inspired, you know something's going, I don't understand it. You may be puzzled by it, but it's like, only God could do this. It just leaves you in awe and wonder. Or He may do something where, like Jesus, He turned the water into wine, and John said, this is the first sign that He did. Turning water into wine, that's pretty cool. But it was a sign that man that turned that water into wine, he was different. God was up to something through that man. I remember making a hospital visit. This is a number of years ago, not too long after I had come into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's the way I would express it. And I was visiting a hospital. A woman had a terrible stroke. And she was in her hospital room, And this had been several weeks prior, but she still wasn't doing very well. And her arm was shriveled up like this on her right side, and her face was drawn. And she really couldn't talk very clearly. And I was visiting with her and explaining to her I wanted to pray for her, you know, and I think I shared James chapter 5 with her about praying and anointing of the oil, and I did that. And I just prayed a simple, faith-filled prayer. And as I stood there, she hadn't been able to move for weeks. Her arm straightened out, and she began to just do this with her hand. I stood there in awe. Now, I'm not finished. I wish I could say the story ended differently, but I watched that in amazement. I mean, I believed God could do that stuff, and I had seen him do some powerful things by that point, but I was still amazed at what was happening. And her eyes got big, and it lasted about 45 seconds. And then I prayed some more, and I prayed some more, and I visited again, and I prayed some more. I don't understand what that was. I mean, I believe the Lord touched her. I left there. It's like, the Lord, you let me see that, and you let her experience it. I'm not going to give the devil the credit for that. You know, and I'm not saying the Lord gave her the stroke. I'll let the enemy have that one. But not the freedom that came. And then there's times when you pray with people and you don't see anything happen and you go your way. I was recently somewhere ministering and a man came up to me and said, I've never got to tell you this, but 18 years ago, I was at a meeting. I'd been in a wreck. And I had excruciating pain in my leg and my knee for a number of years. I could hardly get around. And I received prayer and ministry that night. You had a word of knowledge. And the Lord touched me. And he said, I haven't had a pain in these past 18 years. Now, that one, you can praise God and give him the glory for that. I'm just saying, God, he's a God of power. And really don't order him around. I'd advise you, if you're prone to do that, you might want to reflect on that. Pray about that. Try to get the cart back there behind the horse. But he is a God of signs and wonders and miracles. Let's look at some scripture this morning. We're gonna bounce across some scriptures. And if you don't hear anything else, please hear the reading of God's Word. Because that's where there's power. That's where there's power. We're going to begin in Acts 2:22. I love 2:22. God uses signs, wonders, and miracles. This is about Jesus when, on the day of Pentecost, Peter's preaching. And he says, men of Israel, hear these words. Today the Holy Spirit would be saying, men and women of Grace House, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, notice that, a man, yes, he was the God-man, fully God, fully man, a man attested by God to you. How did God attest him? How did God bear witness? How did God validate? How did God authenticate that Jesus was the God-man? By miracles, wonders, and signs, which... who did it through him? Jesus did what he did as a man in submission to Father God. This verse tells us so. It's telling us that Philippians 2, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He laid aside those divine attributes and he lived his life as a man. So what he did by allowing God to do it through him in your midst. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Isn't that what he said? That's what Peter is saying here. God was doing things through him. In your midst. Not just Moses back in the day. Not just Joshua back in the day. Not just Noah back in the day. Not just David back in the day. Are you with me? He said, in your midst. In your midst. As you yourselves also know. All of them knew what a stir had been created by Jesus, because the hills and hollows emptied into the little villages and the cities where Jesus showed up. And then Peter does get around to saying, "You crucified him." They were cut to the heart, and a bunch of them got saved. So we see here that Jesus' ministry as a man was done with the accompaniment of signs, wonders, and miracles. Okay? Now, let's move on to Mark 16. This is one of the clearest scriptures in the New Testament about how we should anticipate God moving powerfully in the church, in New Testament believers' lives. It's also one that a lot of people say, well, you know, Mark 16, really can't trust that because some manuscripts had it, some didn't. Listen, when you start putting the scissors to the Bible, where do you stop? You can find manuscripts where something was left off, or maybe the next page or the next section what didn't show up or whatever. And here's my problem with that. Number one, don't question the Word. Number two, the things he talks about, you see it played out in the early church. Jesus said, this is the stuff that's going to happen. And as you read the book of Acts, that's the stuff that was happening. So, it's interesting that the Holy Spirit, if that wasn't from the Holy Spirit, he went ahead and validated it in the life of the early church. Of course, I'm full on. This is God's Word. Mark 16:15. This goes along with what we shared last week, Matthew 28:18-20, the Great Commission. Goes along with Acts 1:8, that occasion when Jesus gathered them together right before he ascended. These are like the last orders from headquarters before he ascended. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's who the gospel's for. Every person on the planet. Verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. I'm not going to spend time getting into the exegesis of that. Let me just say, if I was you, when you get saved, I'd follow him in baptism because you're commanded to. But it's the believing that saves you, because if you don't believe, you're condemned. All right, verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. So my heading there is signs are to follow us. We're not to chase after signs. They're to be in our wake of where we're believing, where we're ministering, where we're living our lives. Signs are to follow us. Let me see. And these signs will follow those who believe. Do you believe? Are you seeing God's power manifest in your life? At least on occasion. Now, what believers will do in Jesus' name. This passage lays out for us what we who are believers, it says we will do this in Jesus' name. I mean, this is, when I, you know, I've preached from this passage a number of times in the past and studied it a number of times. But as I was revisiting this, it's just really, it's very convicting. Because it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. They will follow those who believe. I don't think the Holy Spirit had in mind, we're going to get the church going. It's like getting teaching a child to ride a bicycle. Once they can pedal on their own, you take your hands off. No. You know, like there'd come a time when, yeah, you need these signs and wonders here to get this thing going, you know, to get it started in the right way. But then we're going to shut it down. That's called cessationism. That the spiritual gifts and the signs and miracles and wonders, for the most part, are relegated to the life of the early apostles and their close associates. But we've already seen Matthew 28. Jesus said, you teach them to do all the things I did, and I'll be with you unto the end of the age. So we're to continue to teach people the same things that Jesus did. We're to teach them to do it until the end of the age. And the Bible clearly tells us what Jesus did. He healed the sick. He cast out devils. He cleansed the leper. He raised the dead, and so forth. In addition to a lot of other things, but those things are included. And we're to teach people to observe those things until he comes again. And this said, these signs will follow believers. And it says, in my name, and notice, in Jesus' name, not in our names. I can tell you a story, I won't take the time, but about seven guys, the seven sons of Sceva, that was going to borrow somebody else's name, didn't know Jesus, it didn't work well. They got beat up, stripped of their clothing, and ran out of town by a man who had a demon in him. But Jesus said, in my name they will. The word will is included here seven times in this passage. In my name they will cast out demons. I have had people tell other people, stay away from Eddie Lawrence because he believes in casting out demons. I have had people that have told their children, be careful with his children because he believes that there's demons today. And then they'll give them ever how much it costs, $10 on Friday night to go watch a movie about demons. In my name, they will cast out demons. The demons, Satan and the demons, didn't pack up and shut down their business when the last apostle died. If you believe in the Bible, you have to believe in the book of the Revelation. And if you'll go ahead and read that about all that's yet to come, there's still some demons around. I bumped into one recently. They are still around. So, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. In other words, they'll speak with a tongue they haven't spoken with before. Your tongue, you've always had your old tongue. It's different than that one. Well, does that mean the church offers Spanish classes? Well, yeah, we can offer Spanish classes, but that's not what that's talking about. It's talking about a supernatural endowment and ability to speak in a language you have not learned. Sometimes it can be other human languages. Sometimes they are impartation of heavenly languages, tongues of men, if you will, tongues of angels. The ability to communicate in the realm of the Spirit. You pray in a tongue to God. Sometimes there's messages that will come through tongues that are interpreted. We had that happen this morning. They will speak with new tongues. That's just New Testament Christianity. I think the proper question would be, how long has it been since you heard a tongue in an interpretation? It's not bragging rights, but it is. There is the place for it in New Testament Christianity. They will take up serpents. Now, y'all been waiting on that one, haven't you? I'm going to ask the ushers. No, I'm just kidding. But we have an occasion of it in the Bible where the Holy Spirit, seeing the future and knowing the dangers and perils that would be in the path of believers, listen, as they went out taking this gospel to the world that had never heard it, namely Paul, on his way to Rome, he had been told, he knew he was going to make it to Rome because the prophets told him all along the way that you don't need to go to Rome because there's trouble brewing for you. Don't go to Jerusalem. There's trouble brewing for you. And Paul said, no, I've got to go because ultimately God's got something beyond that for me. He knew he was going to end up in Rome. Shipwreck on an island, Malta. Now he's got a servant heart. They're building a fire to keep these people warm that were just come out of that cold water. And a serpent, a viper, bit him on the arm while he's gathering firewood to serve these people. And you know what the people said? Woo, he escaped the sea, but God still got him. You know, he just went on doing what he was doing, unfazed by the serpent. And their reaction was like, their hearts were open. I mean, they wanted to know about this man. They even tried to deify him. But Paul, the bite of the serpent became a platform for the gospel. Impossible. Now, Paul didn't go say, well, there's a hole, I'm going to see if I can get a snake to bite me to prove something. No, he didn't do that. He was serving the Lord on a mission, going where God was sending him, and the devil was trying to take him out. But God took what the devil did to try to take him out, to lift Christ up and bring all those people out of darkness into light. And I believe that's what's in mind here. And it says, notice this, they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, you know what he's talking about? If they drink something deadly and they're unaware of it. In other words, there was a lot of poisoning that took place. I mean, that was one of the preferable ways to kill somebody back in the day. You remember in the book of Genesis and Joseph and the cupbearer, and you know, the kings, even in the recent centuries, you know, when they had kings, they would have a wine taster or food taster. They bring food and set it before the king. He'd drink it and eat it. If he didn't die, the king could eat. And so this is a promise of supernatural protection. When the enemy tries to take you out, or when you eat something that's poison, I've been on mission trips, and some of you have, and eat something. One time I ate something, and I knew it. I had faith for it to make me sick, and it did. But I recovered. I didn't die. I just thought I was. You know, it's like the Lord's saying, listen, when you go out doing what I've called you to do, I'm going to take care of you. That doesn't mean there's not times when people are martyred. We're going to be studying that on our Thursday morning Bible study soon. James is beheaded. And that so pleased people. Then Herod decided, I'm going to behead Peter. Well, God allowed James to be beheaded, but he delivered Peter by means of an angel from jail. So I don't understand all that. I know God's good. I know God used it all for His honor and glory. And I know God didn't swing that sword. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is healing ministry. I got to move on, but I just want you to see here. There's deliverance ministry, casting out devils. There's healing ministries. There's supernatural protection. There's supernatural revelation, speaking in tongues. All this is some of the last words of Jesus before His ascension, assuring the church, you're going to have some power. The same things that you saw me doing, you're going to be continuing those. He had even told them that before He was crucified. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father. And He said it's necessary for Him to go to the Father so the Holy Spirit could come. And He said, by the way, before He ascended, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to receive power and you're going to be a witness to me. And part of that witness, ultimately, it's the proclamation of the gospel, but sometimes the platform for the gospel to be preached as in a way that God attests to it and authenticates the message and the messenger is signs, wonders, and miracles. The early church had a supernatural culture. Let's dive in just for a minute. Let's just drop by a summary passage that gives us a peephole into what the life and culture of the early church looked like. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles. See, this is when it's first getting going. These guys had been hand-trained by Jesus, and so they're ministering. The power is moving through them. Many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. They had favor in the sight of God and man. And some folks were like, you know, I'm going to just stay away from those folks. But they weren't saying anything about it. That's what it means. They dared not just, you know, of course, this is right after Ananias and Sapphira fell dead in church. So that'll put the fear of God in you. And as we continue on, we see that people came expecting God's power to manifest when they came to where the believers were. And when the believers went out, God's power would manifest. It's not either or, it's both and. Look at Acts chapter 5, the following verses. We'll pick up now in verse 14. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Now, I'm not going to park here either, But it is interesting that now we're beginning to see the mention of the women being included more, both men and women. Somebody ought to write a book about that. Oh, I did. Okay, verse 15. It says, both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds. And now I want you to visualize this as I read it. Early church. And they brought the sick out into the street and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Implied in that, there was so much healing and power flowing, they got to place the faith, like, he may not lay hands on me, or they may not gather around me and anoint me with oil. If I could, just like a woman, if I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Well, now these apostles, having walked with Jesus, now having received his promise, I mean, the power is flowing. And I believe implied in this, people were being healed just by the faith of positioning themselves to be near these men as they walked by. This is such a powerful scripture. And it says in verse 16, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem. With what purpose? Bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And they were all healed. And they were all healed. Now, Mark 16, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's the laying on of hands and trusting God to believe. Sometimes it happens instantaneously and immediately. That's a miracle, a miraculous healing. Sometimes there's healings where there's recovery. Listen. We're not against doctors and nurses here or medicines. I'm not. I think everything that helps people, good stuff comes from the Lord. It can be misused, just like all God's good stuff can be perverted and misused. But I'll encourage you, if you're under a care or on medication, you give God the glory for the good stuff. Don't give the credit to someone else. Thank God for them. Thank God for the knowledge, for the skill, how to take a plant he created and get the good stuff out of it that will help your body get what it needs you. Thank God for that. But believe that he's your healer. Receive prayer. Have hands laid on you. Be anointed with oil. Press into the scriptures. And this is this beautiful picture of people coming from surrounding cities. And so people came expecting God's power to manifest. I mean, it wasn't like, hey, they're having a healing anointing just flowing over there at that church. I'm going to come by in my SUV and pick you up. And when we get there, we'll go in and you get some prayer. That's great for that to happen now. But back then, can you imagine living 8 miles away in some village and having to carry a sick person 8 miles into Jerusalem? But they came expecting. Even just, if I can just lay on the sidewalk here, on the side of the road, they'll come by. I'm just trusting God. Like when the people gather around the pool of Siloam, the Lord would send an angel. He'd stir the waters. First one in was healed. I don't understand that either. But I believe with all my heart God did it. And I believe he can do it again. He can do it like he wants to do it, folks. People came expecting God's power to manifest. And that's convicting, do we? Are we expecting to see signs, wonders, and miracles? If we're going to increase and grow and to become more apostolic, and that simply means more New Testament, more understanding God's purposes and equipping people and sending them out and creating a supernatural culture where the Holy Spirit's free to move and we're doing what the Holy Spirit's speaking to us to do. And he's still speaking today. Just as clearly as I'm seeing you this morning, I saw that one of the last Sundays in this month, I just saw this happening just in a Boom, like that. I just saw it all. Boom, boom, boom. I saw baby buggies coming down these aisles. And I saw people coming and putting money, like $1, $5, $10, $20, $50, $100 bills, putting them in the baby buggies, and we're going to give that to save a life. Just saw that. Well, that's the way we'll do it. Okay? All right, let's see. Oh, where's that? Hezekiah, thou shalt bring the baby buggy to thine altar, and there offer gifts to those who save little ones who are headed toward the death chamber. So we'll do it. And I'm going to ask every family, every child. We'll have one go down the rooms in the children's wing. Give your child a dollar. Give every one of them a dollar. You might want to bring a dollar with some zeros on it. I'm just saying, you know. But let's do that. One of the last two Sundays in this month, we're going to do that. And we'll let you know. But that's just seeing what the Lord's doing, and we'll just do it and see what He does. Amen? They came expecting. We need to expect. And I wanted to share this scripture with you right quick. Acts chapter 4. This is when Philip goes on up. You remember Jesus said, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. Well, here's the Samaria part. Therefore, those who were scattered, what's happening? Well, the church is being severely persecuted back in Jerusalem by Acts 8. And some of them, they're not running and hiding, they're running and preaching. They're scattered. They went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. First time they had heard it since Pentecost. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, hear those sorry things are again. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many. This is talking about folks. These unclean spirits are coming out of folks, people, bones covered by skin, with human souls inside of them, spirits. Unclean spirits came out. Why? Because they were possessed. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. That means they weren't any longer paralyzed and they were no longer lame. They're walking, running, leaping, cartwheeling, whatever. God does stuff like that. Verse 8, the result of that, and great depression came upon the city. Is that what it said? No. And there was great joy in the city. I mean, we can sit here and we do rejoice with our Samaritan brothers and sisters who are now with Jesus. And we might even have a longing thought like, wow, just to have been there and to have seen that. But do we have the expectancy in our heart? Didn't we have a word this morning about seeing it and then doing it? Seeing it by faith? Can we see it? Can we see the EMTs pulling up at NAMCE and loading them up and bringing them over here? So many people packed in, they're having to put them out on the sidewalk. Or is that too far-fetched? Has God modernized and got a better version now? No. He's still a God of signs, wonders, and miracles. And these things do still happen. And I believe even here in our Western world, in our nation, who was founded on the Scripture and the principles and had a people that were in awe of God and reverenced God, and we've drifted from that, I'm just believing that through the sheer raw power of the gospel itself, faithfully preached, can turn that ship around. Yeah. Nothing else will. The gospel and the prayers of the saints and faith-filled people doing what God has told us to do in this book Notice the speaking here. He was speaking and they were responding by what they were hearing and seeing. And they were hearing the gospel preached, but they were also hearing some other things. Oh, I can feel my hands again. Hey, my hand's moving. It's been 17 years and they're working. Oh, well, that's nothing. I've never stood up on these feet before and I'm 40 now. And look at this. Woo! That kind of stuff was happening. Now, we could say, well, that was just myth. That was this storybook. That was this exaggeration. You know, and a lot of people believe that. But they won't see signs, wonders, and miracles. Unless somebody that does believe it is willing to step out in faith where they are. Because they're the folks that need to see it. Now, not everyone that sees believes. Jesus did some astounding, incredible, creative miracles, and people looked at him and said, he's got a demon. See, they had enough discernment to know something spiritual was happening. But they had too much dumb to keep them from seeing it was God. Or too much stubbornness and pride. Let's move on. Kingdom power and open doors. Let's talk about Paul and his signs, wonders, and miracles. What he had to say. Romans 15, verse 18. This is when he wrote to them before he actually got to go see them. He said, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. In other words, what I'm telling you, I've seen. I've experienced. He said, in word and deed, to make the Gentiles obedient. That's the purpose of these things. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Elysium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. To the Corinthians, he wrote, 2 Corinthians 12:12, truly the signs of an apostle were accompanied among you with all perseverance. Notice that. It wasn't just party time with no suffering or no persecution. He persevered. He had days he saw signs, wonders, and miracles. And he had days when they were chasing him, trying to kill him. He had days when he saw great breakthrough and answered prayer. And he had days when they were slamming him in the clinker. That's just the way it was. But he said, with all perseverance, all of those who believe. I love, we'll close here with 1 Corinthians 1:4, and then another passage out of 1 Corinthians 12. Paul wrote specifically to the church of Corinth. We have two of his letters. He mentions a third letter that we don't have. It got lost somehow, somewhere. Or maybe there was something in it that, you know, the Lord didn't want to include in the canon of Scripture. I don't know. But we have two letters. And so he tells them here, and this is after he's been in Corinth and established the church, and they are on fire. And he writes a letter to address a list of questions that had been sent to him. He had questions about divisions in the church. He had questions about spiritual gifts. He had questions about married folks, unmarried folks, single folks. He had a bunch of questions. But he began by encouraging them. He said, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. What's he talking about? Let's keep reading. That you were enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and all knowledge. He is specifically and expressly speaking here about spiritual giftings. Revelatory gifts of utterance and knowledge. How do we know that? Because when we read on, he gets to the section where he starts addressing those things. But here's what I want you to see. He said, you've been enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and all knowledge. In other words, he recognized those gifts that were flowing, they came from Jesus. That's a good start to acknowledge that Jesus is the one through His Spirit who gives these gifts to his bride. Then he says in verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you, he's saying that Christ's presence in you is confirmed by how the Holy Spirit's manifesting in your life, basically. He said that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want you to see. Listen, it is so important that we understand we have God's, not only His permission, but His mandate to believe in and function in spiritual gifts. Now, look at this. He said, I'm aware God's blessed you with all utterance and all knowledge. You don't come behind in any gift. As you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus. He's talking about the second coming. And just to make sure you know that, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about when Jesus comes back. You've been given the Holy Spirit to live a holy life and to operate in these gifts to the glory of God, see people saved, delivered, and healed, and so forth. Paul, when he's writing this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's very clear he's telling them, you've got the gifts, you've been blessed to the wazoo. He didn't use the word wazoo. Sounds kind of like a Greek word, but he didn't use it. But you've been blessed to the wazoo with these gifts. You don't come behind in any of them. That tells me they operated in all of them. They didn't pick and choose. Well, he still gives this gift of encouragement, and he still gives the gift of administration. He still gives the tame, well, not tame, they're all supernatural, but the ones that are not controversial. Okay? Some people even divide them up into sections and say, this section's for today, this section's for the day, but this section's not. I'm back to my point. You've got all these gifts as you wait on Jesus to come back. He fully expected and taught that those gifts were to be functioning until Jesus came back. Just like when he said, I want you to teach them to do the same things I taught you to do, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Are those original disciples and apostles still with us walking around today doing ministry down here? No, they're dead and with Jesus now, but he's still coming back at the end of the age. So who was that for? It was for we who are living now and those that are yet to come until he comes. Very clear. And we can cut it out if we want to, because we can be more comfortable. And we don't have to be made uneasy when stuff is happening that we can't control or we don't understand. And we can try to replace it by bringing in entertainment, high-value activities for people who needs Disney World. Just go to church. Now, maybe I shouldn't have said that. My heart's hungry for the church to be the church. God help us if we don't think we need the same power that they needed. God help us if somehow we can't say Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There are sick people who's waiting on a well church. There are bound people who are waiting on a free church. That's the need of this hour. That's the need of this day. And Jesus taught us to be hungry for it until he comes again. Praise you, Jesus. Praise our Lord. Praise our Lord. They had a double expectation. What do I mean by that? They were expecting those gifts to flourish, and they were expecting their Lord to come. Well, I don't know that the come behind and no gift. That might have been talking about their salvation. Salvation's a gift. It really is. But it really makes no sense for him to say, you don't come behind, and you come short in no gift. That makes no sense if there's not more than one. Sometimes the Bible's telling us stuff and we just don't want to hear it, or we've been trained not to see it or ask questions of it. Let me give you some backup here. He's talking about gifts here because when we get over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 7, where he begins his whole section by saying, now concerning spiritual gifts. See, he's got those questions he's going to be answering. It's on his heart when he started that letter. He gets to 1 Corinthians 12, 7. He even explains it. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, the church at Corinth, they weren't wrestling with whether there should be gifts or not. Man, they said, bring them on. They were flowing with them. Somebody try to, somebody get to giving word and they'd go on so long and Paul had to write and say, now listen, somebody else gets a word, you let them give theirs too. You know, he's just got good basic guidelines to follow about how the gifts should flow. It's easier in some ways to pastor a church and not let the gifts function. You know? Because we're all imperfect and I mean stuff can happen. But none of the stuff happens if you shut them down. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. God's saying, it helps us, it profits us to have these gifts. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. That means God gives a revelatory word of wisdom, maybe an answer to a situation, a solution to a problem, the ability to handle something that's going on in a way that will glorify God and deal with it correctly. And there's examples of these in Scriptures. To another, a word of knowledge, the supernatural ability to know something you do not know in and of yourself. God gives you a bit of information in order to open a door for ministry to occur. There's more to it. I'm giving you this sketch here. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Faith, I believe this is a different, this is the faith that moves mountains. There's a gift of faith that can be expressed. My wife and I have experienced this when God's led us to take some bold steps and people we love says, you better pray. That don't make sense. How are you going to survive? What are you going to do? But it's like God just helped us. There was a gift of faith operating in order to open the ministry up to us that God had for us. Verse 10. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings, verse 9, another gifts of healing. Notice the plural, gifts of healings. Sometimes people have different gifts that they see a lot of success praying for a particular area, a particular thing, a particular malady or disease. That's up to the Holy Spirit. He's the one that delegates this out. Now, my personal belief is that every believer has access to all the gifts. If the Holy Spirit's the one that distributes them, then He gives you what you need when you need it in the situation you need it in. But by observation, it does seem that some people operate more in some gifts than others' gifts. He said to verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. This means power, dunamis, power, mighty deeds, miracles. Some of the things I've already mentioned, to another, prophecy that can have a edification, comfort, encouragement element to it. Sometimes it can have a foretelling element that where you're seeing something that's not yet happened that's going to happen. And occasionally there can be a warning element to it. There's different ways that can operate. I can't just spend a lot of time on these, but it's fascinating. To another, discerning of spirits. Notice that plural, spirits, different kinds of spirits. You know, and some people have a big, long list of different kinds of demons. A demon's a demon. All of them's ugly. All of them's unclean. All of them's evil. All of them's of the devil, and some of them do manifest in certain ways. But I think primarily what he's talking about, is this the Holy Spirit or is this demonic? Or is this the human spirit trying to do something? Is a primary thing that's happening there, to be able to discern where God's working, where God's not, simply put. And then to another, different kinds of tongues. I've already talked about tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. I already talked about that, verse 11. But one, and notice this, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, the same Holy Spirit, distributing to each one individually as He wills. As He wills. When we're willing to preach the gospel, share the gospel, be led by the Holy Spirit, then He wills to give us what we need when we need it. And these gifts are just that. They are not human abilities. Now, God may have blessed you with talents. He may have gifted you with talent in areas. But these spiritual gifts are grace, like bracelets that God that you have in certain situations need them. I mean, I can't just say, all right, I'm going to share a word of knowledge with you right now and give it to you. You know, it's not like, okay, Holy Spirit on demand. You can put a demand by your faith, Lord. And the way we do that is, Lord, is there anything you want me to see? Anything you want to show me? Lord, is there or anything you need to speak to me? I can position my heart. Lord, anything you want me to sense or feel that will alert me to what somebody else is sensing and feeling so I can minister to them in your name? These things can manifest in different ways. You can learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, use the Scriptures as your guardrails. But this is New Testament Christianity for now. It's not a now and then version of New Testament. It's now until Jesus comes back. It's now. It's now. And we want to increase in this. No manipulation, no fabrication, but just being humble and being hungry and saying, Lord, move in our midst and be willing to allow Him to move us. And sometimes you may be in a hurry and you're really needing that bag of diapers at Walmart, but then you start getting a word of knowledge on aisle two. And God's got something for you. Are you hearing me? As you go. As you go. And the gifts are not just to parade. Oh, I can hear from God. Oh, God, watch this. It's not like a YouTube, watch this right here. It's allowing God to love people through us. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And trying to be Jesus, to represent Jesus well to this world in which we live. And all the hordes of hell will fight you to stay in a place of inactivity, doubt, unbelief, or fear. But by faith, we have victory over this world. By faith, through the power of the risen Christ, we can continue His ministry of destroying the works of the devil. And we can see signs, wonders, and miracles. Recently, I was standing in a parking lot, and a man came by. In a few minutes, I watched the Holy Spirit deliver that man from pornography. He had an unclean spirit. He made choices to dive into that stuff. And you know, after a while of making those choices started making him. And he became bound and allowed a stronghold of Satan to form in his life to where it's almost he lost the power over the impulse and just kept returning and returning and returning. But in simple, faith-filled prayers, I led him to declare the supremacy of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in Jesus' name and by His blood to break the power of that unclean spirit, to renounce it, and then to look him in the eyes and speak to that spirit and command it to leave him. And I'm telling you, I can't say there's a lot of fireworks happen, but what I did see is I saw that man's countenance change. I saw his eyes begin to radiate life again, and I saw peace and joy came upon him, and he testified to that. This is New Testament Christianity. In addition to hundreds of other things. But I'm just saying this is real. This is real. I stood in a seminary class, a Baptist seminary in Ukraine a number of years ago. In a Baptist seminary I was invited to teach. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge in the class. And I was teaching them about the Holy Spirit. And they weren't in line with that. But God just decided He's going to demonstrate to them. And I asked the person to identify themselves. I had a very specific word about the left arm and pain. Nobody raised their hands. We went to lunch and came back. A man raised his hand. He said, I was afraid to raise it. He said, I was a boxer. I broke this left arm before I was saved, and I'm in pain all the time with it. And I thanked him for his courage because I knew where, he knew where he was. We knew where he was. And I don't mean that in a diminutive way toward the people at seminary, because they loved Jesus and saw many people saved. And may I just say, I've still got a lot of Baptists in me, and one thing the Baptists do really well, and it's the greatest thing, and that is win people to Jesus. We must never let anything get out in front of that. These signs follow the preaching of the gospel. So, prayed for him, and God healed him. He testified to being healed. And the next day, the classroom was full of people from other classes coming. Just like, just a little microcosm of what Jesus saw. People just came from everywhere and they heard there was, God was moving in power. There was a healing. Just one healing. And people that had given their lives to follow Christ and to study His Word left their class. They wanted to come in here and hear about it. And that's, all I did was just be obedient in a moment. You and we, without Him, we can do nothing. But in Him, we can do all things. I want you to stand with me. I appreciate your patience this morning. You came for a half a pound, and you got a whole pound. And I appreciate your patience. I'm going to ask our worship team to be here, and I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come up here. It would be remiss of me not to give you the opportunity to be prayed for if you need prayer. If you need healing in your body, you need breakthrough in your life, you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to follow Him in baptism, the Lord's leading you to be a part of this fellowship because you want to be part of this, a culture where the supernatural is being prayed for and hopefully experienced to some degree. But more than that, may we all, when we leave here today, and may we this week ask God to raise the level of our expectation for these things. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible without faith. So let's lift our hands together. And may I lead us, would you just repeat after me if you agree with me? If not, then that's fine. Just amen what you can, amen. Dear Lord Jesus, head of the church, Savior and Lord of my life, I thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe and I confess that you do today through your church what you did in the early church. Help me, O Lord. Grace me to believe more than I've ever believed for signs, wonders, and miracles. Help me to receive the grace you give and to take the steps of faith you lead me to take, so that I may see you working in powerful ways in my life, in my family, and in the fellowship where I attend. Kingdom of God, come. Will of God be done in my life, in our lives, here at Grace House, in our city, in our region, in our state, in our nation, throughout the nations. May Jesus be exalted, the Holy Spirit followed, the lost saved, the sick healed, and the bound set free, to the honor of God the Father, through Jesus the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I believe us saying that together makes things different for us. Because faith's not about what we feel. It's about what we believe and how we act on what we believe. These altars are open. I'm going to go ahead and just let you loose here in a moment. Pastor Dot, would you come and pray the blessing over us before we go today? Mickey, if you would give him that microphone. I think it's on the chair up here. Come and pray. Ask God to use you this week. We're going to do our very best to create more on-ramps and opportunities for us to see God begin to touch people and move and work. And at the amen, this altar's open. You feel free to come, and we'll pray as long as we need to pray.
Lift our hands to the Lord. Grateful for what we've heard today. Seal it, Holy Spirit, in our heart. We just make a decree and declare that the devil's not going to steal the seed that's planted in our heart today. With your hands lifted, I decree, I declare over you. Numbers chapter 6. We pray the Lord bless you. We pray the Lord keep you. We pray the Lord make His face to shine upon you. We pray the Lord be gracious to you. We pray the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. We pray the Lord give you His peace. If you can receive that, would you say amen? God bless you. The altar's open. Take advantage. God is in the house. God bless every one of you.